like I'm putting chemicals in the water that turn the freaking frogs gay.
Screwing up the intro.
We can fix it.
This is Pure Decking for Thursday, March something. Let's say 29th, March 29th. The current year. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, pointing out how rigged the game is, and realizing that I have yet again forgotten to come up with a new joke. So, right. Anyways, I'm Morps, and tonight I am drinking Viking Blood. It's written Blood on the bottle. I think it's actually supposed to be pronounced blood, but it's a mead. And very sweet, but very tasty. And we have Aryu. Aryu, what are you drinking?
Hello. I'm drinking all-natural raw Australian water. It's guaranteed to get a Geiger counter party happening at your house. Got to remember our good sponsors over there at Goblets on the Go. If you haven't received your goblet yet, hang out by the mailbox and hang out for it. They have a great new product. I'm just looking at it here. I'm holding it. It's fantastic. It is a Phallus Chalice. That's right. Phallus Chalice is now at Goblets on the Go. So hang out around your mailbox for 3 to 6 months, and hopefully it gets there, Morps.
And Madman. Madman, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Sam Adams Cold Snap. It doesn't come in a penis cup. In a bottle. That's why I'm drinking it.
I wrote that joke. I wrote that joke while soaping up my cock in the shower this morning.
You proud of that, are you?
I am. If you're listening to us for the first time on iTunes, we didn't upload it, and I'm sorry.
So,
sorry.
God. And here we go. So, I'm already drinking a fair amount of mead, so it's everything's just going to be funny. Fuck. And plot gone. Train, it's gone. You know, it's just. Anyways, yes, Psychros, it is in fact 20%. At least that's what the bottle says. So, given the level of retardation going on here, let's go ahead and get into the first article. Aryu sent me this, and we're, after careful examination, we're all pretty sure this thing's a native ad for Fortnite.
Yeah.
But there's still some stuff to talk about here. So, Fortnite, the video, this is from the BBC. Fortnite, the video game whose sudden rise has grabbed the imagination of gamers, is not addictive, a Scottish university researcher has claimed. Andrew Reid, a doctoral researcher of serious games at Glasgow Caledonian University, said people found the game hard to stop playing, but he warned against using the term addictive, which could stigmatize regular consumers of video games. He said some research showed positive characteristics of play. After 6 years in development, Epic released Fortnite in July 2017, co-op survival shooting game that lets players build structures, blah, blah, blah. They basically go on to describe how wonderful the game is and how it's free, and concerns have been raised about hackers getting access to accounts used for the in-game purchases, and potentials of playing the game online with strangers. Mr. Reid has said that the game is proving very popular because it was carefully crafted to deliver a truly engaging experience. He said the game experience was different for each player and changed each time. Mr. Reid said there was scope for further research on what constituted video game addiction, but it had been suggestively defined as excessive consumption of games that conflict with everyday living. The researcher said it would be better to consider the reasons for wide and regular consumptions of games without calling players addicts. To do otherwise would be to stigmatize the medium as evil to our society, despite a growing portfolio of video games and research that reinforce the positive characteristics of play and interactivity, he said. Mr. Reid said Fortnite had a cartoony, exaggerated style, unlike 18-rated games such as Call of Duty whose hyper-realistic style may have different consequences for on children's perceptions. He advised parents to try to encourage children to play in moderation. He also added, and here's why I say it's a native ad, I'd also suggest playing Fortnite yourself to understand why children might be interested in it, so you can speak the same language and get on the same wavelength. So, first and foremost, this thing's a fucking ad. This is like talking about how wonderful the game is. Secondly, you got these SJW vibes in here. You can't call them addicts because it stigmatizes them.
The only reason I brought this up with you, Morts, this morning is because my wife actually came to me 2-3 weeks ago. One of her friends she works with, her son, has just gone fucking native on this game. I mean, he's refusing to go to school, refusing to do sport, go outside. He is just 100% on this game, fucking 20 hours a day, man. She can't get him off the console, off the PC.
So this is when you need to ask her if she's ever seriously considered sitting down with her child and hitting them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would think so.
I thoroughly enjoy games. If my dad said, you're going to school, I don't care if I was going to college. I'd be like, okay, it's time to go to school. Because my dad would beat me.
Yeah.
He never did, but I know for a fact he would beat me.
So Psychros in the IRC already knows exactly where I'm going with this. And I may have called in sick once or twice to play games to work, just because, you know, fuck it at the time. And,
I may have ruined a degree playing WoW.
I know.
Never well, know.
That's the thing is, World of Warcraft and Evercrack. I mean EverQuest. They've had this problem.
Minecraft.
Sure. This has been going on for a long time. So it's like, oh, Fortnite. Fortnite's addictive. Well, no, it's not. It's escapism. It's popular escapism, but. You know, I don't know that. Well, I guess you could call these games addictive because it's a repetitive behavior that ultimately damages your life. I mean, how many in shape World of Warcraft addicts have you met?
Madman wasn't that out of shape.
They're all either way too skinny from not eating or way too big from eating while playing.
I knew a World of Warcraft addict. It was a Taekwondo black belt. He kicked my ass and run 5 miles.
That's rare.
Yeah. That's a well-balanced. I wouldn't call that addiction, then.
He could also, and we were in a PvP guild, and he defeated just about every guild member on his lock naked.
Well, yeah. He's behind a computer. Nobody, unless you guys are kicking on the webcams in the game, nobody cares what he was wearing.
I was going to go with the lock was naked. He was probably naked, too. Oh, God, I just got that image in my brain. I know the man.
Well, send him a phallic chalice.
So, but, I mean, so Defiant Kids also are not truly anything new. I mean, this is where... If the child is not responsive to logic, violence could be employed. I mean, at a certain... Okay, I don't have kids myself, but I know a lot of people who do. And spanking kids when they're too young to understand reasoning or are refusing to listen to reason is a way of getting their attention. And I... remember growing up, when I got in trouble with my parents, all the console controllers would get locked up, the keyboard and mice would get locked up. My parents didn't care. You know, they take that shit away and, you know, it'd be gone. Now, I know you see, like, on YouTube and shit, kids throwing absolute tantrums if you do that and take their games away or cancel their internet or whatever. Like, there's the one kid who like went absolutely insane, shoved a remote control up his ass, all kinds of crazy things in that one YouTube video.
Yeah. I'm wondering how much of that is staged.
Oh, well, that guy, they figured out all of it was staged because they turned it into a comedy series and just you can go find the whole series. Like near the end of it, like they'll show him having, you know, absolute crazy freakouts and they'll go outside and like the yard's on fire and shit. So, but it's like not really on fire. It's just like this little area they've set up so that something's on fire.
Here's the thing. Take a teenager's phone off them if you want to see what happens.
Oh, sure.
Guaranteed shit fit.
So, and that's when it's like, okay, you're going to trash your shit? Fine. You don't have anything.
Yeah.
I mean, my parents took shit away. If I trashed my room, fine. You don't have a bed.
Yeah.
Because... When I was younger, yeah, apparently I tore the shit out of a bed because I was pissed off at something. So fine, I got to sleep on the floor for a month.
Yeah. Yeah, I came home many a time from school to find just nothing but a mattress and a pillow left on the floor.
It's like, yeah, you know,
cleaned out.
You want to act like a dumbass? Guess what? You're getting treated like one.
But given that, by the age of 16, my old man had stopped hitting me. But the simple fact is, it's not working anymore, and by then it's old enough for the cops to start stepping in, you know?
Oh, I was going to say about 16 is when my dad stopped hitting me because I hit back.
Nah, man, I always deserved it, right? It was never undeserving. I totally deserved every whack I got. And at 16 he sort of said, look, I could beat the shit out of you for this, but hey, there's no point. You've just got to come to the realization that if you keep going down this track, you're going to be ending up with the cops. And you know what? Exactly right. By 17, I was getting arrested.
So here's the thing, though. At 16, you were old enough that you could actually hold a civil conversation and understand what the fuck he was on about. If
I'd already been in the workforce full time for 2 years as well.
How old's this kid who's refusing to go to school so he can play Fortnite?
16.
Really?
He's big enough to where he could smack his mom around. You know, if she tries to put any hardcore discipline on him.
Okay, but, fine. We're just not going to pay for your shit.
All right. At that age, you already messed up. Children don't learn to obey you when they're teenagers. Children learn to obey you when they're 3 days old and up.
Yeah. That's what I mean. By the time you're 16, if you haven't figured it out and the cops haven't started stepping in because you're fucking up. But, I mean, in Fortnite, how are the cops going to get involved with shit like that? No, he's just going to end up a no-friend, useless, forever-alone, fucking neat, browsing 4chan fucking 24 hours a day.
No, kick him out of the house. Say, like, fine, you know what? We're not paying for internet anymore. We're not buying your computer.
Problem-solving. Cycros' dad took his power cords away from his game consoles. He figured out how to make ones that work.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, hey, and good on him for figuring it out, right? Because then it's like, okay, you get to learn something about electronics. That's useful information.
Building resilience.
Yeah.
He's building resilience as well. You know, look, oh shit, something broke. Oh, gotta fix it myself.
Sure. Sure.
Congrats, Cycros. Congrats, man.
So, you know, I'm kind of half talking out my ass here, but I just don't see this as a problem with video games. I see this as a problem with parenting. Now, if you're talking about somebody in their 20s who lives alone and, you know, plays Fortnite and doesn't do anything else, that's poor life choices. That's a
self-discipline problem.
Yeah, it's still poor life choices.
Poor life choices.
Yeah.
Is this person a single mother by chance, are you?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't want to make cast dispersions or anything like that.
The dispersion isn't being a yes, it is. It's being a single mom.
Yeah.
The problem is, she made a very bad choice in not finding a dude she could marry before getting knocked up. Because you can't be the breadwinner and the primary nurturer. Somebody has to be at home teaching the kids how to be people. Because children aren't born people. Children are born monstrous little balls of need, want, and greed. Their parents' job is to turn them into people. Otherwise, when they get older, I might have to shoot them. Because they're little monstrous balls of need that break into my apartment or, I don't know, sell crack to puppies and other horrible things.
Yeah. The fair call, madman.
Somebody needed to be at home teaching the kid, you listen to your mommy and daddy, and someone needed to be at work providing resources for whoever else is in the family.
So,
it's not video game addiction. It's bad parenting.
Well, and I guess to that point is, if it's kids, you don't have to enable them. They're you yeah. know, it's like, fine, we
you
don't
can't
have internet.
Say no.
So.
Yeah.
And if they're going to throw a freak out, well, you can deal with it. But
this is why I chose not to be a parent.
At the same time, I think there are some addictive behaviors in video gaming because, I mean, it's reward center, right? It's you hit the button, you feel good because you see the little thing on the screen that says you win. It's the same thing gambling has been taking advantage of for, I don't know, how long has gambling been around, Madman?
Ever.
Since prostitution, man, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, you're still taking advantage of that I win function in the brain. So there, it's not that there's not addictive behavior in video games, and there certainly is, but I don't know. It just, to me, quibbling about whether or not you call it addiction is stupid. Saying, oh, you know, having somebody, you know, having some ad say, oh, it's not addictive, you should try it, doesn't help either.
No.
Well,
go ahead.
The gameplay aspect of Fortnite doesn't fall into the things that gambling still makes addiction. When scanning like a chronic gambler's brain, there's a phenomenon known as a near win. Most humans categorize that as a loss because it's a loss.
Sure.
But let's say you're playing a slot machine and it comes up cherry, cherry, bar. A normal person's brain says that's a loss and you feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
An addicted gambler's brain says, that's a near win. I feel good. I just need to try harder, even though there's no try harder in this because it's a fucking mechanical machine. You're either going to win or lose. There's not a near win aspect to Fortnite. You either got your ass shot off because you ran off by yourself or because your friends are already dead and you lose.
I've had some good fights in Fortnite, but we've only won that one game.
Now, like the box things in some games, I could almost see that possibly triggering a similar response.
Actually,
I'm not sure how, because there's no gaming in that. It's just click, win or lose, so there's no near win or complete loss.
There was a back when everybody was going off about the boxes in Star Wars Battlefront, there were some Congress people who were exploring them as classifying them as gambling, the loot boxes as gambling. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
I could see that's gambling. It's a crappy form of gambling, but like entering in a lotto or a draw. Oh, God. They're going to make it where I have to be 18 to win my loot boxes? Oh, wait a minute. I'm good. Never mind. You're fucking the teenagers over on this one. I'm already past that age. For everyone that comes after me, my freedoms are secured.
Oh, I love that attitude, Madman.
So, do we want to talk about this Fair Play Alliance thing? Because I don't really care.
I don't think so, man.
Cool. Skipping.
All right. What is it?
It's a marketing. It's a logo and a marketing tactic.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's,
good. No, we can skip that. We've done enough marketing. That's what this first story was.
Actually, Psychros, investing is absolutely gambling. See the cryptocurrency market for the past several months. Oh, I got out at the right time. I know several people who didn't. Say what?
Depends on what investment you're doing.
Bitcoin.
An index mutual fund, if you go 10 years or more, has never lost money.
Yeah, but there's always that once, Madman.
Okay.
I know it's a,
well, are
it's
you,
a, it's
in
a better
300
bet?
Years, it's never in, lost money. So
yeah,
yes, the 400th year might be a difference.
Yeah, it's a better bet to go with that. But you know what I mean? You can't say it'll never, ever fucking go down in value.
No, I can't say it never will. I can say it hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on how you invest. Now, if you're trying to invest in individual stocks, yeah, that's gambling. No matter how good the company is. That's why mutual funds are fun. Well, that's why mutual funds are logical. No, holding a dollar is losing. Gambling, you could actually win something. Holding a dollar is depreciating. not gambling.
All right. We ready to go on to the register story here?
Yes.
So, this one is interesting. And one of the reasons why solely depending on cloud services is probably not a good idea. This is from the Register. Microsoft has advised customers that offensive language on Skype, in an Outlook.com email, or in an Office 365 Word document is a potentially account-closing offense under its updated terms of service. Considering Office 365 is normally purchased by companies, having one employee write fuck in a Word document, getting the whole account closed, should be a real issue.
What? If I send you an email saying, suck a bag of fucking dicks, that should not be banned.
Especially because I should be able to respond with LOL, get bent fag. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Yo, mom gay.
This is a fucking conversation here.
So, yeah. The tweaked services agreement. Notice we don't use Skype for these shows. The tweaked services agreement, which comes into effect on May the 1st, 2018, now includes the following code of conduct item. Don't publicly display or use the service to share inappropriate content or material. For example, involving, for example, nudity, bestiality, pornography, offensive language, graphic violence, or criminal activity. And if you disobey, if you violate these terms, we may stop providing services to you, or we may close your Microsoft account. We may also block delivery of a communication like email, file sharing, or instant message to or from the services in an effort to enforce these terms, or we may remove or refuse to publish your content for any reason. When investigating alleged violations of these terms, Microsoft reserves the right to review your content in order to resolve the issue. However, we cannot monitor the entire service and make no attempt to do so. Microsoft lists its online services covered by the agreement here. To save the click, this includes Skype, Windows Live Mail, Office 365, Bing, Cortana, OneDrive, OneNote, and Outlook.com. I thought Outlook was in there twice. It's actually OneDrive that's in there twice. Well, now, OneDrive, people were putting private shit in, so how does that work?
Yeah.
There's some sense behind the new rules, because the roster also includes things like Xbox Live, which has chat features that are used by morons to bully and harass fellow gamers. Smut and foul language also have no business at education.minecraft.net, the classroom-friendly edition of Minecraft. Register asked Microsoft how the new legalese was intended to stop people swearing on Skype or in Word or OneDrive files, and the spokesperson from Redmond said, "We are committed to providing our customers with a safe and secure experience while using our services. The recent changes to the Microsoft Service Agreement Code of Conduct provide transparency on how we respond to customer reports of inappropriate public content." So they are saying public content.
So can I opt out? Is there an opt-out?
How's Skype public?
Yeah, just don't use Microsoft
service. Whoever I'm Skyping with, that's private.
Well, but if they put automatic filters in place, it may not matter. The Register understands the key part of the mostly non-answer is the language about how we respond to customer reports of inappropriate public content, as Microsoft's intention is to give netizens a way to complain about nasty behavior by other Redmond subscribers. So, like, if somebody puts out a public SharePoint site on 365 and it's full of, I don't know, kiddie porn, it gives Microsoft the legal right to pull it down. Well, kiddie porn, they already would.
They have the legal right.
Yeah, they have that legal right.
This is arbitrarily offensive.
Yeah.
You know, bad thing is they don't throw up political views if they find offensive. Although, they did define it as swearing, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Okay, so that's not quite as bad. But it's still, if I throw in the lyrics of, I don't know, most rap songs, it's going to get banned.
So yeah. Microsoft told the Register it does not listen to Skype calls, which is good to know, but the Windows giant added that it may examine private files and conversations that potentially breach the code of conduct if the biz receives a complaint from someone, be it in a Skype chat or an email. The long list of online... So somebody has to complain about most of it, which also just means this is ripe for trolling. And that, that's YouTube's problem right now, is they set up all this public of, public complaints, and, yeah. So now it just gets abused all to hell. The long, long list of online services covered by the updated service agreement means millions of users need to take note of the tweaked legalese. If you subscribe to a Microsoft service, make sure you stay within the code of conduct. Microsoft insisted it won't actively police its services and randomly delve into your stuff, but beware, it will investigate complaints from people offended by what you do on their platforms in public.
Damn it.
Just another tool for the constantly victimized.
Yeah. So.
I wanted to randomly send photos through Skype just to have somebody review it. Help warp somebody's brain.
Set up a couple of
suicide quotient.
A couple of fake accounts and start complaining about it.
Oh, no. I was just going to send it to you and RU. No. If you get a message from me in Skype anytime soon. Probably don't want to click on it.
Well, last time that was a harlequin baby, so I'm not. I don't click on images you post anyway. It's just out of safety.
I haven't used Skype in 3 years.
So
actually, since Microsoft bought it, I think that's when we stopped.
That's when
pretty
we
much.
Stopped.
Well, they also started making it. You know, the interface crap. And much harder to use, and it wants to be running all the time.
And quality.
All the ads.
Quality went down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think the big thing is it went from peer-to-peer to you have to go through their centralized server.
Well, that certainly didn't help. So. Anyways, I was trying to find a thing here real quick.
The messages at work get your work account banned.
If somebody complains about them, it absolutely could, yeah.
They'd be complaining to my manager, not Microsoft.
Well, that's also a way to, if you're unhappy with your boss.
Oh, that's going to cost them some business.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, look what Outlook puts out. Something similar to what you're doing.
So, there you go, Psychros. You remember the Facebook registration picture I sent you a while back?
Yeah.
That's what I thought of with Psychros. The netizens in cyberspace deserve a safe and friendly information superhighway where netiquette is observed. It's like, yeah, there you go, that picture.
Yeah.
So. Anyways, let's move on. Did I post a link yet? I did not. So this next article is from Yahoo Finance and is really just comical. Mozilla this morning launched a browser add-on for those users not willing to delete their Facebook account, but also wanting some control over how much of their data Facebook can access. The Facebook Container, as a new extension is called, isolates your Facebook identity from the rest of the web. That means Facebook will not be able to use your other web activity to send you targeted advertising. To be clear, this extension wouldn't have saved users' data from being compromised, as it was with the Cambridge Analytica scandal, and it does nothing to prevent Facebook advertisers from diving into your profile and your activity while you're on the social network in order to target you. However, it is meant to plug at least one of the holes in Facebook's leaky dam by offering a way for users to prevent Facebook from gaining even more data outside its services. When you install the extension, it deletes your Facebook cookies and logs you out of the social network. The next time you open Facebook, you'll notice it's been opened in a blue-colored container tab. Within that tab, you can continue to use Facebook normally. However, if you click a link that would take you to a page off of Facebook, it loads the page outside of the container. Similarly, if you click any Facebook share buttons outside of Facebook, it will load them in the container. So it's kind of like a secondary private browsing mode, but it's just for Facebook. And the reason I think this is hilarious is that Facebook has become so egregious and so stupid on this. I mean, obviously, this thing is, capitalizing on the news. But, Facebook has gotten so obnoxious that the browsers have to make a special mode to isolate it from everything else.
Yeah, man, I have nothing on this. But I'm just sitting back at all the normies losing their shit over Facebook and phones and stuff like that. I'm loving it.
I'm just wondering what took so long to realize you're a product, because Facebook hasn't changed its marketing. Facebook hasn't changed what it's doing.
Well, you see, Madman, you hang out with us, so you get exposed to these ideas. Most people, you know, they get their news from Facebook. So, you know, the idea that Facebook would ever admit that it's bad is just, it's like, no, no. It's sort of like the major news, it's sort of like the major news media companies doing a hit piece on the pharmaceuticals. It's like, no, no, they pay our bills. Why would we do that? So. I don't know.
I have nothing for this, man. Like, if you've got it and you haven't realized what it's doing, then you deserve everything that comes with it, you know?
I love all the people losing their shit because Facebook collected all their call history off their phone. It turns out on Android, if you have the share your contacts turned on, it gets all your text messages, it gets all your call history, it gets all your contacts. So, yeah, don't do that. Just don't.
Okay, now that's a bit more evasive than I know.
Oh, you didn't
Facebook
know?
Facebook is actually getting your text messages?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
it's been using your contact details and then going, and then if you've got them connected with your Facebook, it aligns you two up and then sees the circle of friends around that and what to advertise to them. And when you're close to each other or you're in a conversation with each other, it goes, hey, they both like this.
So
next time they're on Facebook, bang, that's what they're targeted ads with.
What's interesting about this, if you want to go political for a minute, nobody gave a flying fuck when the Obama campaign did the same thing, did the exact same thing. People went back and found the sound bites of them bragging about it back after Obama got elected the first time. And, I mean, one of the companies that did it even admitted that through the way that, you know, if you clicked on something in Facebook, it not only exposed your account but all of your friends' accounts, that they had ended up with something like 75% of Facebook in 2012.
Yeah, I think it was with his first run. So
yeah, it was his first run.
2008, was it?
Oh, was it?
No. No, it was 2012 and then 2016.
Oh, what the hell?
No, wait a minute. It's a 4-year cycle. So, yeah, 2008, then 2012.
Maybe it was the 2012 one then, because that sounds like around the time frame they were talking about. But, yeah, they were saying they had gotten like something like 75% of Facebook into their database.
Well, he didn't need to have people click on it. Facebook gave him access.
Are we talking about Obama?
It wasn't even
or
that you had to go
Trump.
With Cambridge Analytica to get it.
Trump, okay.
He had direct access from Facebook.
Yeah, because the complaint there is that all this data they gave for academic reasons ended up in a political campaign. Yeah, at least the Obama one, somebody actually had to click on the Facebook. They call them apps, but it's really more of just a web page. So.
Yeah, with the Obama, Facebook was giving it to him directly, and with Trump, it was being sold to Trump through a third party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the only difference.
But I still think it's hilarious because they go on, you know, they've been going on and on about it, but you go play the sound bites, it's like, oh, Obama did the exact same thing.
I think it's more egregious, Facebook giving it directly, because then they're trying to compromise you and all of their users. Although, I guess technically they have the right to. It's their data that you're giving them.
Yeah. Well, no. So to be fair to Facebook on the Obama thing, you could write apps on Facebook. They called them apps, but they were, like I said, they're really just web pages on Facebook. And if you gave that app permission to your profile, they got your profile and all of your friends' profiles at the time. So it's not that Facebook gave it to Obama. It's that Facebook made it available for Obama's campaign. And then the Cambridge Analytica one, they got it through a back door through another company. So, but it's just everybody getting all upset about it is the funny part to me.
It's like you're a product. If you're not paying for something, you're what they're selling.
So.
Yeah, people are wonderful.
All right, next article is from the Next Web. Taiwanese hardware manufacturer Foxconn, which is contracted by Apple to make iPhones, has agreed to acquire accessory from Belkin and its associated brands Linksys and Waymo for $866 million in cash by way of a merger. Huge move for Foxconn, and the first time in its 44 year of existence that has ventured into owning and operating consumer-facing brands. The plan with its new buy is to grow into a smart home gadgets powerhouse, and it seems like a natural progression for the three brands it's now acquired. California-based Belkin has been in the business of designing and selling computer and phone accessories like chargers and cases, while Linksys is a reputed maker of routers and networking gear, with its sub-brand Waymo offering a range of connected sensors, smart switches, and plugs. Once the deal is completed, following approval from U.S. Committee on Foreign Investment, Foxconn will see itself facing tough competition from the likes of Nest and Amazon, the latter of which just got Ring for $1 billion, and it'll take a lot more manufacturing capability to win that war. The amusing part about this is it's not just iPhones. Foxconn has subcontracts for all of the most of the major brands. So, I mean, it's just like... I mean, I think we're starting to see, would it be convergence or where you're going to start seeing all the tech brands kind of get gobbled up into a couple of big names. And Foxconn's obviously going to be a big one.
Foxconn's been a big player for years.
Yeah, but they've been behind the scenes.
Yeah, you know, installing those suicide nets. I don't think I want anything from Foxconn in my house, thank you, that gathers any sort of data.
I think you already have stuff from Foxconn in your house that gathers data.
They make a lot of Asus and ASRock hardware as well, if I remember correctly.
Well, all my Asus gear is sitting on the floor in bits.
Well, good shit. Luck.
So you have bits of Foxconn in your house.
Yeah, they are in no condition to gather anything but dust.
Just remember how many Asians died to bring you that dust-gathering component.
Hopefully at least four. No, they got suicide nets, man. They were fine.
Oh, they're going to climb out of those and just fall the rest of the way.
So here's a question. Are the suicide nets far enough down that it's like they're still going to get hurt when they land in the net so they don't try to crawl out and fall the rest of the way?
Nah. But they're like pitcher plants. It's really, really hard to climb out of those. They have to be in pretty decent shape. So, and I know they're Chinese, so they might be in decent shape and secretly ninjas. So it's possible, but they're also broken-spirited, so I don't know if they have the willpower to try.
Yeah, they're probably like, after
failing. Do you have to wait on somebody to come get you out of one of those nets?
Yep. I'd say so.
Yeah. They have a team dedicated to emptying the nets. It's a job. You can get a Foxconn net emptying job.
So what do you do, man? I pull Chinese people that are suicidal out of Foxconn nets. Oh, yeah, you like that job? It's a living. God damn. How fucking depressing must it be to be the Foxconn net guy? You know, Carl Lingling, come on down. Third time this week, you silly little gook bastard. Come on, get out of the net.
Well, at some point they start, you know, at some point when they realize that they're not going to get hurt, they stop jumping to kill themselves and they just start doing it on their break because it's a lark.
Oh, it's like instead of a 10-minute break, if I jump into the net, I get a 25-minute break.
I think you're missing why the nets were installed. It's because they don't get breaks for 20 hours a day.
It's like I need a break. Oh, I fell off the roof and got caught in the net. Yeah.
Oh yeah, because they live in Foxconn houses, go to the Foxconn cafeteria, and then go to the assembly line. They don't leave the facility.
They probably get paid in Foxconn bucks too.
It's essentially slavery.
Foxconn fun bucks. How often until that's a cryptocurrency?
Well, let's start it today.
FFB, Foxconn Fun Bucks. Let's go ahead and finish up, Madman. I was making jokes.
I was just going to say, the really, really awesome thing is, I believe there's still a 6-month waiting list on getting a job at Foxconn because so many people want in. That's even because
they still
with their suicides
they still
and shit.
They still pay better than everything around them.
Yep.
So, all right. Next one up is from Inc.com. A federal court has reversed a district court decision in the 8-year copyright infringement case between Oracle and Google. The district court found it in Google's favor 2 years ago. This new decision says that Google did indeed infringe on Oracle's copyright and has ordered a trial in order to determine damages. In an earlier court action, Oracle had filed for about $9 billion. Now the company's general counsel says the value has gone up. The story begins in 2008 when Google first released the Android operating system. It wanted Android to be compatible with apps written in Java, and rather than buy licenses for Java application programming interfaces, Google created its own. Apparently drawing 11,000 lines of code from 37 Java APIs along the way. Google argued that this was only a tiny portion of the operating system's 15 million lines of code and qualified as fair use. In 2010, Oracle, which had recently acquired Java creator Sun Microsystems, sued Google over that code. There was a jury trial in 2012, and Google won. Oracle appealed, and in 2014, the verdict was declared void. Google asked the Supreme Court to hear the case, but the High Court declined to take it up, so there was a second jury trial in 2016. Once again, Google won. And once again, Oracle has appealed. And that brings us to today. The circuit court overturned the jury's finding of fair use, saying there was nothing fair about using part of copyrighted work verbatim and using it in a competing product. How is Android competing with Java?
I don't know. That's
because you write Android apps in Java. I'm a little confused there. Reactions on both sides sound very familiar to anyone who's been involved in copyright and patent cases. Google, along with open source advocates such as the Electronic Frontier Foundation and Berkeley professor Pamela Samuelson, argue this decision will have a chilling effect on innovation because high-tech startups will now be afraid to write their own APIs. Oracle argues against that, that on the contrary, this decision will encourage innovators to create new software secure in the knowledge they can derive revenues from licensing it. On the balance, it may be bad news for startups who are likelier to be writing APIs than selling software licenses. Of course, that's only if the ruling stands. What happens next? Google said in a statement it is considering its options. It's safe to say the company won't be simply giving in and starting to take payment terms with Oracle. One possibility is that they might once again ask the Supreme Court to take up the case. The High Court turned it down in 2015, but since then there's a new court. So,
the High Court turned it down because there was another court below it that it could be appealed to.
Yeah. So, okay. The issue here is that Google used part of Java in writing Android because they were implementing the Java sandbox so that it, or the Java virtual machine so that it could run Java code, which is what Android apps are written in. And the reason that matters is because Java code is in every Java application. The standard libraries. They're built into the language. That's how it works. That's how any programming language works. They all have standard libraries. And these standard libraries usually get included in whatever program you write in that language so that you can interface with the operating system, allocate memory, you know, whatever it is you want to do, right? So I don't quite know the perfect details of this because they're saying Google included some of Java's code. But if they wrote, I mean, Android is basically written in Java and on top of the Linux kernel. So I'm trying to figure out if this means that any application written in Java is at risk of being sued by Oracle if they don't by licenses, enterprise licensing for the software. And I'm thinking it is, which means if you run enterprise applications in Java, you really need to seriously consider rewriting them because this sounds like this could potentially poison the language, which was the fear everyone thought Microsoft was going to do with .NET when they started making Mono and porting it to Linux. But yeah, Oracle's actually done it with Java, and Java was always considered a safe thing to develop in.
Was it the libraries, or was it code outside of the libraries that they took?
It's parts of the interpreter, I think. Well, yeah, Psychro said that in the chat room, so it's parts of the interpreter. And because they were trying to keep it compatible, they used a lot of the same names, and they made sure that they met some of the... it says they copied a little bit of lines of code, so they potentially just copied parts of the open source Java libraries.
I don't know enough about coding or to even comment.
Well, they were making their own version of Java. Although, now that I think about it, Sun sued Microsoft for the same damn thing a while back, because .NET used to be known as J++. And this was before they completely rewrote it and redid it. And J++ was the Microsoft version of Java. And Microsoft lost that lawsuit too. But that was with Sun. And they weren't trying to shut down... I don't know. I feel like this could go badly. And it might be that if you're big enough in using Java applications, you can get sued for using them if you haven't bought licensing. So this could be a sales target tactic from Oracle for the next few years, saying, hey, you better be buying those Java Enterprise support licenses if you don't want to be violating copyright law.
Ooh, hey. Is it cheaper to buy the license or rebuild everything?
Considering how old a lot of the Java apps out there are, it'd probably be better to go ahead and rebuild everything and, you know, kind of get Oracle to realize that this was the wrong thing to do. Because what you've done... I mean, I understand why they did it. And they might be technically correct under copyright law. The honest answer is I don't know, because I haven't looked into it deep enough. But what you've done is you've given people to reason to doubt that it is legally safe to use your product without being sued by you. But you release that product as open source. So it's you end up with this strange legal encumbrance if you use the Java system. So, and what happens with things like Iced-T, which is the open source Linux implementation of the Java interpreters? Or, I mean, the fact that Java itself is open source now, completely. So, bad form, I think, is the right way to express what I'm thinking here.
Well, if it's open source now, they may have standing because they filed the suit prior to it being open source. Was it open source when the suit originated?
They didn't even own it when Google actually did it. And yes, open source does not equal free software. I have no illusions there. But Sun, so when Google released Android, I think Sun still owned Java. Oracle bought Sun. And Sun was working on open sourcing large parts of it at the time.
Right. But the question still is, was it open source before or after?
I don't know, because I don't know what part of the code they copied. I'd assume that the code they copied had to have been, because how else would they have had the code?
Yeah. Reverse engineer it.
Make Google. Psychos is saying, have Google turn Android into GNU Linux, or Android GNU Linux. So you have like three or four slashes in the name of the kernel as it boots up there. That's another argument I always thought was silly. Was Stallman going on at how it, you know, on and on and insisting that GNU be put in front of everything? I mean, I get where he's coming from a marketing term. He's like, oh no, the name has to educate. But at the same time, it's like, dude. Really? And I don't know. The thing is, one of the estimates I heard, that they were talking trillions of dollars in the lawsuit. So.
Yeah, they're not getting that much. I don't think there's a judge that retarded. Millions, maybe a billion. There's no T words being bandied about in any reasonable company.
Think about how many Android phones are out there. Yep. How many have been sold? But the other thing is, Google doesn't make that much money off Android. Not really.
And
they give the operating system away. It's open source.
Apps on them. No judge is going to give you a $1 trillion settlement. There isn't a $1 trillion company yet. Like, Google has the largest cash reserves on the planet, and they're a multi-billion-dollar company.
No, I know, but I'm thinking more in terms that they would have to be basing this off profit of Android. And as an operating system, they give it away. They make their money off the Play Store and the platform. They don't make any money from just people selling phones.
Because they even sell them at a loss some points, don't they?
Yeah, when they get old enough.
Yeah.
Psychros is arguing with us in the chat about the GNU thing. Dude, it's just a riff. Don't worry about it. Do you ever have BSD Linux too? Didn't Debian do that? Didn't they have the BSD kernel on top of the Debian toolchain? Anyways, let's move on to the next article here. This is from the BBC. U.S. fitness brand Under Armour, which owns the MyFitnessPal software, which is weight tracking software that calorie tracking software that a lot of people use, said usernames, email addresses, and passwords were potentially stolen. However, the company has said passwords were protected by strong encryption, which means they were hashed. Let's see, the breach occurred late February, but was only discovered on the 25th of March. The company quickly took steps to determine the nature and scope of the issue and alert the MyFitnessPal community of the incident. It's an app that helps people track diet and exercise routines. Leading security researcher Troy Hunt told the BBC that the company appeared to handle the breach well. In many ways, it's just another day on the internet. Large online assets suffer a data breach and millions of usernames and passwords get leaked, he said. To its credit, Under Armour appears to have made the announcement of this within 4 days, and its method of password storage is quite robust. Mr. Hunt said this was a vast improvement compared to high-profile data breaches suffered by the likes of Equifax and Uber in the past year. Under Armour said it's been sending messages to users directly that if they had been affected by the breach. The notice contains recommendations for MyFitnessPal users regarding account security steps that can help to protect their information. The company is requiring users to change passwords and urging users to do so immediately. So pretty much the hash to your password, if you use MyFitnessPal, has been leaked. If you use that password anywhere else, one, you shouldn't be reusing passwords, but two, change them.
I got to give it to them. 4 days, man. That is pretty
That good. Is actually epic on the response time. Most companies wait 10 times that long for their lawyer to tell them whether or not they even can admit that it happened. And most companies, their lawyers tell them never to admit breach. Never admit it because they think it's legal liability.
Yeah, 4 days, man. I've got to give it to him for that.
Psychros, he actually did finish Herd. He's still arguing in the chat room about the GNU thing. So I'm pretty sure Herd was finished. And that's probably bad to bring up because it gets people so worked up about it. I don't know. I always thought it was kind of silly, the naming argument. But
out of a lot of religious arguments.
I mean, I get where they're coming from with it. It's like, no, GNU project contributed a large portion of the code that would eventually make up what most distributions start with to make a Linux distribution, but or operating system distribution, because they could be using BSD kernel or something else, but not all of them use GNU code. There are several that use BusyBox as a base or some other stuff, and of course you have the whole BSD chain. So, yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things that it's just like, I get where they're coming from, but if you run down that road, I mean, shouldn't it be GNU Linux X11 GNOME? I don't know.
I want Red Hat in there somewhere.
Systemd, Pulse Audio. I mean, how many things can you put in the boot screen there? So, at some point, that gets a little goofy. BSD Windows. Isn't that what the Linux subsystem for Windows is? BSD Windows. Yeah, no, you're right about the TCP stack. Microsoft totally lifted the TCP IP stack out of BSD and dropped it in Windows 2K. And if anybody wonders how you know that, if you go on a Windows 2000 system into Sys32, you're going to see a drivers folder. Under that drivers folder, you're going to see etc. And that's where your hosts file is. So it's like, yeah, you're referencing a Unix command stack or Unix path there. Anyways, so this next article is from Reuters. China's central bank will be launching a crackdown on all types of virtual currencies this year, the vice governor of the central bank said on Thursday. Also, the central bank will still push forward with research and development of its own digital currency this year, Fan Yefei said in a statement posted on the website of the People's Bank of China. So, the Chinese bank is like, no, you can't use Bitcoin, you can't use cryptocurrency, you can't use any virtual currency, but we're going to make our own, and you can use that.
Actually, yeah. I think this is a good push. The big upside to cryptocurrency is its resilience to inflation. So if they're pegging the yuan to a cryptocurrency, and then they put forth the how the maximum number of yuan they're going to be, then if you're investing, you know how secure your money is in that market.
Dude, it's the Chinese.
I didn't say they were going to do it well, but if they go crypto and say, we're basing the value of the yuan on 10 bucks, whatever the hell they want to name their cryptocurrency, or they might even just call it yuan, and they put forth, this is the max this chain will produce, because I think whenever the chain starts, you know what the max number of bitcoins are, don't you?
So that depends on the cryptocurrency. Many of them have a maximum cap that they're supposed to eventually get to, and some of them even peg the difficulty curve, but not all of them do. I don't think Dogecoin has a cap. Of course, the guy who wrote it said it was a total joke. I don't think Dogecoin even has a difficulty curve that increases very much.
If it has a difficulty curve and you can if you can plot the inflation rate, it's still going to be better than the U.S. buck, where it's just, it inflates and we decide how many dollars are going to be in the world randomly at any given time. Have stability and a currency backed by a government. So you have a stable currency backed by real goods. Bitcoin, it's not backed by anything. If China backs a currency, it's backed by how much ever tea's in China, by how much ever iron they're stealing from Africa. It's backed by their hard assets. So it could really help them in world trade if they did something like that.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
It'd be similar to doing a gold-backed currency. A lot of Middle Eastern countries are arguing about it because it stabilizes markets.
I see where you're coming from, Madman. I just don't think I'll ever have enough money to ever worry about this sort of shit.
They're the second largest economy on the planet. They've had enough money to worry about. Oh, you won't. Sorry. Investing, they're already a big player.
Yeah. I see where you come from, though.
So, all right. I just thought it was interesting and kind of funny that they were like, nope, we're banning all cryptocurrencies, but we're doing our own. So,
the reason they're banning is to do their own. When the U.S. had gold-backed currency for a long time, different mints were banned. The bans didn't usually last long.
Well, I don't think the... I don't know. Of course, the way it's done today with the Fed, I don't even know what rights our own government has to print currency at this point. So,
technically, the government prints the currency, but it's printed whenever the Fed orders it.
And they just give it to the Fed.
We print it, we give it to the Fed loans it to us.
Yeah, something seems odd there. I don't...
It certainly does. There seems to be a middleman for some reason.
No, this is completely normal. Don't shoot me in my sleep. We're fine with this. Everything's good.
Emergency.
I've never heard of Gecko Island.
I'm just going to shoot you in the back of the head and blow your brains all over the place.
Well, we know
wish it were only him. I could probably shoot him fast.
Well, we know who Madman fears and admires.
That's it, I fear no Game one, because these man. People don't exist. We're not talking about anything.
We can fix it.
So if Madman randomly dies in his sleep tonight with two to the back of the dome, we may have a clue what happened to him.
So when Madman
died of a heart attack from being morbidly obese, smoking for decades.
Strange. It looks like he fell down an elevator shaft onto some bullets. I don't know. It's just, you know. All right. Last article. This is from the BBC. China's defunct space lab, Taichung 1, should fall to Earth over the weekend. This will end well.
Yeah.
At over 10 meters in length and weighing more than 8 tons, it's larger than most of the man-made objects that routinely enter Earth's atmosphere. China has lost all communication with the module, so the descent will be uncontrolled. However, experts say there is very low risk that any parts of Taichung that do not burn up will hit a populated area. Given Taichung has a larger mass and is more robust as it is pressurized than many other space objects that return uncontrolled to Earth from space, it is the subject of a number of radar tracking campaigns, explained Richard Cowther, the U.S. Space Agency's chief engineer, the U.K. Space Agency's chief engineer. The majority of the module can expect it to burn up during reentry heating, with the greatest probability being that any surviving fragments will fall to the sea, he told the BBC. So the thing is, the potential reentry area.
China has a space station. Dude, China has a space station.
Yeah, and China has a space station. But if you look at the map, where will Taichung 1 fall? The entire United States, down to good chunks of South Africa, South America, all of Africa, all of China, all of India, Australia's in the path there.
Damn it. No, it'll be my fucking house.
You're just gonna. It's like, what happened to RU? Yeah. He fell down an elevator shaft.
He believed a little bit too much in Galaxy 15.
Fell down an elevator shaft onto a space station. I don't know. It just, you know, these things happen.
Fucking Chinese satellite.
Precise knowledge of reentry time and location will come late, typically only the last hour or so. Experts are very confident. Most of the module's components will burn up in the high atmosphere. Its orbital path means that any debris is restricted to where it will fall. Perhaps 20 to 40% could survive to the surface. That's 1.5 to 3.5 tons.
Yeah,
it's tons. That's a lot of steel coming down. The highest probability.
How far of a debris zone are those tons? Because it's not one piece.
Hundreds of kilometers
look
long.
Look at the map. All of America.
All over America? I mean, I guess a couple of grams going that fast will still fuck you up. But
dude, it'll just whiz.
Aren't that big.
It'll whiz through your dome if it hit you. Even a tiny chunk the size of a, you know, dime or something.
T-O-N-N-E-S, by the way. Tons.
I would make fun of their space station falling out of orbit, but ours did a long time ago.
Yeah, it landed in my backyard, you bastard.
Yeah, can we get that back, by the way?
No, we found it. We're keeping it.
Yeah, but, I mean, all you guys are doing is letting Abos use it as a fire pit.
That's all it was good for to start with. Piece of American-made shit.
Smoke weed every day. I'll give you 8 ounces of petrol for it.
You can negotiate with the native owners.
If it's being owned by some Abos, I got $1.50 worth of gas.
It is probably bloody sacred to him by now. He'll never get it back.
$1.75. They're Abos. I mean, I probably got some beads and feathers around here somewhere.
Wow. So that's Madman at galaxy15radio.com. Don't be surprised when it bounces.
Please send me more mail. I masturbate to it.
That's all right. It's goblins on the go.
All right. I got two links for you tonight for Digital Dojo. The first is a really good forum post on Level 1 Techs of decrapifying Windows 10. And so, Madman, you might want to pay particular attention to this one because I know you're on a fresh install there. Pretty much this walks through... I like the write-up because he's got a lot of good information on here about why you want to go through all this, the kind of data that Microsoft is probably collecting, the different Windows flavors out there, and then links to a lot of the programs you want to run to clean up your Windows 10 install so it's not spying on you quite so much, and how to turn a lot of the parts of it off. The Microsoft makes it difficult, and it seems like with every update, they turn most of it back on, so... You got to be careful and monitor it.
This.
But it's a really nice write-up. It also talks about, you know, maybe going out in the network level, setting up pfSense and blocking some of the IPs there. I run a Pi-hole. I block a lot of the telemetry IPs on the Pi-hole, so the DNS doesn't even resolve. However, that does not guarantee it works because they can put IPs in these updates. So there's actually a text file linked off here that has all of the URLs and IP addresses that you want to block with your firewall if you really want to block Microsoft's telemetry. If you use Office 365 for work, if you use Bing or Outlook.com or Hotmail, you might want to be careful blocking some of this stuff because you're probably going to make it not work. If you use Skype, this will break Skype. So... But yeah, it's a nice write up, and it even links to Glasswire, so you can actually see what the hell's going on your machine. So that's another thing that's probably worth downloading and running every once in a while. And then the final thing I have for tonight, go ahead.
No, that's good.
It's a nice write up, and it's rather entertaining to read. So. The last thing I have is an article from Motherboard, of all places, that has a whole bunch of different data collection websites, different data collection companies, people search sites, and the like. This is where a lot of telemarketers get their information. This is where a lot of the spam calls come from, not to mention just public records, and how to opt out of all of it.
Nice.
So... It's kind of American-focused, sorry, are you? But at the same time, it still has instructions on there how to get out of all this stuff. So if you don't like, say, getting all the credit offers or you don't like all the fucking phone calls, I kind of enjoy screwing with these people. I wish they'd quit calling them at work so I could really lay into them. But because I have found the best way to get these people to leave you alone is to get put on their abuse list. So extremely, yes. Extremely racist language... wasting their time. If you can blast an air horn into the phone, or if you have a blotto box on an older school line, dog toys, you know, high-pitched dog toys, those work extremely well. If you can get on their abuse list, they usually leave you alone for a bit. The problem is there's several different companies doing it now, so you have to do it several times to get on all the abuse lists. But anyways, so this is a huge list of different people indexing sites. The other thing here is, if you're trying to find somebody, and you don't think that they've done all this, you can go through all these websites because it's also a good list of sites to search for people.
Oh, stalker, are you?
I've been a good boy lately.
How boring.
I know. I blame this slow connection.
So, anyways. So not only are these websites good for logging, for... getting yourself out of, because you can opt out of all this stuff, you can use this to search other people if you're feeling, if you're trying to go for that private, say what?
Voyeuristic.
Oh, well that, or, if you're trying to go for that private investigator's license. Anyways, that's all I've really got this week. Madman, closing thoughts.
I think finally finding a practical use for cryptocurrency and inventing rice noodles. China's got two things going for it.
All right, are you? Closing thoughts.
Hey, goblets on the go, my friends. That's all I can say.
Glad I put that on the soundboard tonight. Anyways, Oh, right. I think I forgot to read this on show 300. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 Radio site, the subreddit. I'm thinking about rewriting the website again and maybe even putting some other shit on it. So if you're interested in me redoing the website, let me know what you think should be on it in the subreddit.
Needs
or
is a Flash game on there? Preferably Snake or something so I can play a game while I'm doing the show.
A little game section.
Yeah, I'm kidding, man.
We'll talk after the show. Anyways, that's all I've really got. I'm going to play the Pac-Man sound.